All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And I'm just going to go pass it on to Chloe to introduce the next guests who are very appreciative of having on our program today.
Thanks, Jacob. We have Amin Afrabi speaking to us this morning. Amin is an activist and refugee speaking from inside Brisbane Immigration Transit Accommodation. And has been detained there for almost 2 years. And like many medevac refugees, it's 2 years of detention here, in addition to the 6 years in offshore detention. Amin has been supporting the recent hunger strike, which is happening here in Melbourne at MITRE, at the Melbourne Immigration Transit Accommodation in Broadmeadows, where 14 refugees have been on hunger strike for more than 2 weeks now. Amin, thank you for joining us on the show this morning.
Hi, Chloe. Good morning. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, we really appreciate you, getting up this early, Amin. And, you know, this hunger strike, it just, you know, really shows how desperate and serious the situation is for these refugees. And it's continuing to get worse. Can you please just maybe give us an update on how the hunger strikers are doing? I know 5 of them were taken to hospital, and instead of being released, they were just sent back to detention again. Would you be able to tell us, you know, how they are, and maybe also talk about why they decided to go on a hunger strike?
Yeah, sure. The problem is it's bigger than just a hunger strike. People are desperate to get their freedom, you know, like, including me. We want to be free as a human being. We're born free, and we never commit any crime to be locked up for this much years. Like, this is 8 years. We are finishing the 8 years that we are locked up in a detention for no reason except the benefit of the Australian government.
Yeah.
So,
sorry, go on, Amin.
Thank you. So the thing is, yeah, they have been sent back to the detention instead of they should release them, because this hunger strike, it keep going, and I don't think anything will change it yet. And yes, they brought some people back from the hospital, but at the moment that we are talking, still there is probably 3 guys that they are suffering from different sicknesses. They still admitted in a hospital, and they are in hunger strike. So 2 of them, they have a heart condition. And one of them has an injury in his stomach, which is actually bleeding, internal bleeding he has. And they are hunger struck as well, and they are admitted from... This is probably 8 days, maybe 8-9 days that they are admitted in a hospital. So I want to talk about... The treatment of the hospital and the ambulance as well, which is, it is really important, because one of those guys who has a heart problem, he has been ignored by the ambulance, and they have been calling because he got chest pain. So they called the ambulance for 3 times. And what's happening is, after 3 hours, the ambulance show up in there to take him to the hospital. And he was emergency. So it's really shameful for IHMS or Australian government to play with the human being's life. And that person could die in that time, because he's suffering from a really serious heart problem. And he was having a really heavy chest pain that night.
Thanks, Amin, for, letting us know about, you know, how awful this situation is. I just wanted to sort of change the conversation around the International Health and Medical Services. You did mention it when we were speaking before on the phone. And just to give listeners a bit of context, back in 2016, more than 200 refugees on Manus Island called for a royal commission to fully investigate the International Health and Medical Services, or IHMS, which is the medical provider to detention centres contracted to the Australian government. And these contracts are worth billions of dollars. The IHMS is, you know, politically controlled by the Australian Department of Immigration and Border Protection. And negligence was revealed by an inquest into the death of 24-year-old Hamid Karzai, who was a refugee who died in Brisbane in 2014 after being transferred from Manus Island. And, you know, we know most medevac refugees have not had the medical attention they came here for. And, you know, keeping them in these confined, appalling conditions is just exacerbating their symptoms and driving them to, you know, go on hunger strikes and risk their lives. I mean, would you want to talk about the IHMS and how these privately run detention centres are balancing the care of asylum seekers with their, you know, commercial goals?
Yeah, sure. Look, Chloe, the problem is for years and years and maybe a hundred or thousand years, a doctor known as a person who can actually rescue people and save people from sickness or from death. But in this period of 8 years that we are detained and we are controlled by the Australian government and the IHMS, actually the IHMS has changed the meaning of what does mean to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And yet the Australian government are trying to protect and support the IHMS, that they are doing the right thing and they are the best treatment. They're providing the best treatment. I personally can talk about myself that how they are liars and how they are controlled by Australian and how they're having the most impact on our sickness. And they are, I believe, they are the main reason why we are sick, because whoever is going to talk, they're going to shut him down by mental pills. So they, we are a guinea pig in another way, I can say. We are a guinea pig, and they can test whatever they want. And they have the order from Australian government to actually keep us in detention no matter how. And how they are keeping people in detention by giving them mental pills to make them numb. Mm. So I can say a couple of things about myself that This is probably 8 years that I'm suffering from two different skin problems. I have a problem in my nose that I cannot breathe properly, and I need a surgery. I have a knee problem. I have a back problem. I have another problem that actually my hands and my feet are freezing, and I'm suffering from two skin problems that I have. Actually, I did prove that to IHMS, to Border Force, and even to the Serco. But the IHMS are not willing to put it in a report. Why? Because this is 4 years that I have been arguing with them and trying to change their mind to listen to my pain, because it's really serious. And I have been a kind of in torture and pain every single time that I take a shower because of the chlorine in the water, because it's affecting my skin. I'm not sure that is the cause of my skin problems, but it's affecting very well. And I did prove that to the IHMS, and I'm asking them to put it in a writing. They are not willing to put it in writing. They are lying to people verbally every time. And what they done after all the sickness that I have, and I came in here to get a treatment for this sickness. What they done is, a couple of months ago, they did write, because I'm actually taking a legal action against my will that I have been kept in a detention. So what they done is, they gave the court book for the court case that I have. They gave them, and they told them that I got all my treatment that I came for, and I'm fit to fly to go back to PNG or not.
Yeah.
So this is one of them, and I'm trying to mention something else. You know, we can say, like, you know, few people are liars. We can say, like, I don't know, I'm lying. Some others, refugees, are lying. But you cannot say whoever is in detention, they are lying about IHMS.
Yeah.
Because you cannot find even one person in all the rest of the detentions, all the Australian detentions, are actually happy with the treatment that IHMS are providing. I personally spoke with the IHMS manager, and I asked her about my treatment, about my surgery, or my appointment with the ENT about my nose problem. Her response was verbally that it's really hard in Australia, and it has to take like 7 or 8 years for a person to see the ENT.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Jacob wanted... Oh, sorry. I thought Jacob was going to ask a question. We might have to wrap up in the next few minutes, maybe?
We have like 4 minutes left.
Oh, 4 minutes left. Okay. I did have two more questions left, Amin. I guess I just wanted to, you know, mention that, you know, there are, like, quite a few refugees that were medically transferred here who were actually released into the community, and the ones who have been... you know, deliberately imprisoned in these onshore detention places like hotel prisons and detention centres surrounded by barbed wire, like where you are, and stuck for almost 2 years, have been the medevac refugees, the refugees who were transferred here to receive emergency medical treatment under the medevac bill. And, you know, now these human beings are suffering after being brought here for that treatment. And that was clearly highlighted by a number of health professionals. And, you know, many of the illnesses are a result of the conditions they've suffered in offshore detention. And refugee activists like yourself, Amin, you know, liken the situation you're facing in indefinite detention to a hostage situation. And, you know, some of the refugees who have been accepted by the U.S. Still remain imprisoned in detention here. So maybe you could just quickly shed light on why this is and why, you know, we use the term hostages.
Yeah, sure. Why we use the term of hostages, it's because that's exactly what they are doing to us, because... there is a lot of things that we can prove that we are hostages, because nowhere in the world any process of refugee will take 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first thing. And second thing, that there is a lot of guys, they have been accepted by America, and this is years that they are accepted by America, which is, I had an interview with another radio channel a couple of days ago, and they actually done something like fully investigation about what I said. And what the Australian government actually responded, that is not the truth. Yeah, that is not the truth, because I cannot get any proof against the Australian government, because whenever they talk to me, they talk to me verbally. They don't want to put it in writing. And whatever I talk to them, their government, they can put it in writing and they can use it against us. So we don't have any evidence, because they are not providing us evidence. So what exactly happening is, they are keeping people in detention, which is, they are accepted by America for years, like 1, 2, 3 years that they are accepted by America.
Yeah.
But what they do is, they are keeping them and they are telling them, we are waiting for America to take you over. But the reality, one of the guys was smart enough to communicate with America, and he found out that actually from American immigration, I think, they told them that we are waiting for Australia to send you. And it was a shocking answer he got, because they told him that everything is ready. Even we brought both the blanket, everything for you, and we put it in a house that you have to stay with your uncle, and we are just waiting for Australian government to send you over. And why I'm saying that, and I can prove it again by saying that there is a process of medical check. Those guys who are accepted, they have to go to that process. And when they go to do the medical check, the medical check, it has a 6-month time to get expired. All these people that they have been accepted by America, they did the medical check at least 3 times. So they will do the medical check, and after 6 months will get expired. Yeah. And still, yes, they are in the detention, and they're going to do it again after maybe 6 months or a year. They're going to do it again. Yeah. And then it's going to get expired, and again and again. So
just a never-ending cycle of cruelty. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but we do have to wrap up pretty quickly. And, you know, we really want to, you know, thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning. And, you know, thank you to all those who have been working so hard to fight for the freedom of refugees, whether it's, you know, on the streets or in their workplaces. And, you know, there is a protest happening outside of Maita in Broadmeadows today at 4:30. So I'd encourage anyone listening, if they're free, to get down there. Did you have any quick last-minute comments? Like, we'll have to keep it really quick, but did you have any last, you know, sort of comments to make up before we wrap up this interview?
Yes, please. I just wanted to mention to Australian people that whoever doesn't like the refugees or likes the refugees, they have to actually be united and ask for the tax that they are paying to this government for 8 years, because people's taxes, it's actually keeping this government to torture us or to torture innocent people in detentions offshore and onshore. Because when you pay taxes, you are giving them power to actually pay companies such as Serco, IHMS, and etc. To actually keep going and keep torturing innocent people. I'm sure that if you even don't like the refugees, still you don't want to pay a government to torture innocent people. Please question your government about the taxpayer.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Amir.
Thank you. We're just out of time. We have to go to another another program is going to be coming on after this. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Amir.
Thank you.
All right. So we're just getting into the kind of end of the program. Unfortunately, I don't think we actually have time to play the outro. Stay tuned for Earth Matters after this. You're listening to Green Left Radio.